Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob McClain. Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and drizzly Monday alohas to you. See if we can brighten up the worst day of the week. At least many people assume Monday occupies that particular classification. Great to have you along, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Engels Advantage talk line number 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. And my email address remains very simply bob@1063.com. You've been paying attention to the local political scene. You know that tomorrow is an election day, and I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by Dwight Loftus, who is the Republican candidate for the state Senate seat previously held by a gentleman who will join me in the last half of this hour, William Timmons. He, of course, replacing Trey Gowdy in Congress. And Dwight Loftus, as I said, is the Republican candidate to replace Mr. Timmons in Columbia in the state Senate. Dwight, how in the heck are you?
Oh, we're doing great.
Excellent.
We're doing great.
Tomorrow is Election Day, and it is a special election, of course. And the constant fear when we have one of these is that the turnout is going to be extremely low, and so it becomes incumbent, therefore, on the candidates to try and do everything they possibly can to make sure that we get some bodies in the voting booth.
That's for sure. And I hope maybe my opponent's friends from Washington who came down and canvassed the area will impute some motivation for folks to get out there.
Yeah, energize it a little bit.
Energize it.
Something a little different is going to be happening tomorrow, too. There's been a lot of discussion about the voting machines. I have had questions about these particular machines just because, among other things, the technology is pretty dated. These machines are, what, 12, 13 years old?
At least, yes.
And so now in Columbia, they are looking at acquiring new voting machines, and we're going to kind of be guinea pigs for this tomorrow in, what, two of the voting precincts?
Two of the voting precincts will have the machines, and I understand there will be two different types of machines in each, one in each precinct.
And is this essentially like a pilot project out of Columbia to see which one of these is going to eventually pass muster and be the new machine for statewide?
Well, one of the things they want to look at both of these to see how effective they are or how easy they are to operate and for the voters to operate and be familiar with them. That's the reason for it.
What about the ability to be hacked? Because we see breach after breach of confidential information being released into the atmosphere. We've seen it here in the state previously as well, with more than a million people having their confidential information be breached in a hack. These machines more resistant to hacking than what we previously used, we would hope?
I think so. I've only seen one of them and have used one of them in a test area.
Right.
And you input your data or select your vote in one machine, and adjacent to it is wireless connected. And then you put the unit in there that you voted with, just like this little unit that they use now when you vote.
Right.
And then it shows you how you voted, and then it spits out a paper ballot to confirm on paper how you voted.
Yeah, I like having a paper trail. I know the League of Women Voters has been pushing for years and years to go back to paper ballots. And we saw the potential for disaster that happened with the hanging chads with the election between President Bush and Al Gore. But at least when you have some sort of paper trail, there is some real-world evidence that you can revert back to see what's what.
And that's true. And I think it's important that the voters see who they voted for. And then if there's a question there, then your paper ballot would back it up.
Right. The legislature in session right now, you, of course, have been a member of the House of the legislature there for a decade or more, and now looking to move over to the Senate. What primary pieces of legislation that are under consideration in the Senate now are of most concern to you, Dwight?
The most concern to me is the educational aspect, the piece that's over there right now. It's passed the House. It's a broad bill. There's a lot of reform in it, and a lot of things in there. There's a teacher raise in there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it may not affect Greenville that much, but would affect some of those smaller, underperforming school districts in other parts of the state. It's very important. It will include things like artificial intelligence or some from education in that direction. People who look at workforce tell us that by 2030, that today's jobs, about 25 to 30% of today's jobs, will be replaced.
Right.
So we're going to have to get up to speed in South Carolina, because basically the only thing we have right now in technology wise is programming and that sort of thing, and that's about all we have. So we really need to get a move on.
I know there's a constant level of frustration, not only on the part of the teachers in the education system, but on the part of the voters as well. We turn around and we keep throwing money at the education system, and yet we don't seem to be able to generate any momentum in moving us out of the absolute bottom of the state's standing educationally when compared to every other state in the union.
Well, you're right, and we only just a few months ago dropped below Alabama.
Right.
Mississippi. We used to say thank God for Mississippi.
Right.
And now in the NAEP scores, the fourth grade test scores, we are lower than Mississippi right now. We've got to do something on that, and I talked about programming a minute ago. I think that's called coding. But we've got to do that and more to get our youngsters up to speed to fill these jobs that are out there and waiting, and they're high-paying jobs. We will be making more. They will be making more in those jobs, but it takes more training to do that, and that's what we're trying to do right now.
Excellent. Well, we certainly need it, and I know that a lot of people wish that the education system would be able to turn out kids who graduate going through the K-12 system and at least be able to do simple things like balance a checkbook or speak English in a way that actually makes sense.
That's true. And there's a lot of things out there that we're moving toward, I hope. Certainly hands-on learning. If you can apply the project,
mm-hmm.
and coordinate that with what you're hearing or lecture or whatever, you understand it. And we're moving in that direction. We're moving into more credentialed training for youngsters in high school who will leave school with some credential. It might be in welding. It might be in Microsoft Office. It could be in a number of things. But at least they will have something, a credential that they can show an employer out there. We certainly hope they will go on to the extra, at least 2 years in technical school. And that seems to be where it's at right now, because
yep.
a BS degree or a bachelor degree doesn't do very much unless you're specialized.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we look at these people that come out with a BA or even a BS degree.
Mm-hmm.
Having invested maybe $75,000, $100,000, they're behind the eight ball already financially with the student loan debt that they have. And yet you look at the job market, what are you going to be able to do with that?
Well, a personal experience right here, if I can and tell them my family.
Yeah.
I've got a son in his early, in his 40s, in his early 40s, and he's going back to Greenville Tech right now
mm-hmm.
to go into this area of logistics and so forth that's moving our industry in South Carolina. And he's got a BS degree.
Right.
He has a BS degree. And when he gets out, he will double his salary, the salary that he's had.
There's been a lot of discussion recently about building a new convention center. And
right.
and you are in favor of that project, I assume.
It is a project that will bring business to Greenville. Greenville is becoming more of a white collar area.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too, businesses that locate here, especially anybody interested in putting a headquarters here, they want some of those amenities. And what I see in this, and other than tourism dollars, which it will bring. We're fourth in the state in receiving tourism dollars. It will bring plants. It will bring headquarters to South Carolina. That plant may be in Lawrence County. It may be in Anderson County. But a lot of the executives will live near or in Greenville County and will enjoy those amenities. The other thing, too, it will allow manufacturers to bring in to the convention center their meetings and so forth. That will bring even more dollars to Greenville.
Yeah, and those are newly found dollars. Do we have enough hotel capacity to justify a larger convention center?
Yeah, I think we do, and we're growing. We're growing with a couple of hotels being built downtown right now,
right?
Which just adds to the value of a convention center because it gives more people to stay. You don't have to worry about accommodations, and it will be in the walking distance for many of those.
So. Yeah, our downtown has certainly been a magnet for a lot of
other
people.
Need more parking downtown. But
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was talking with somebody over the weekend who mentioned, and I don't know if this number is accurate or not, but was talking about home sales in the area and mentioned that three new families moved to Greenville every day. Is that a number that you've heard? Is that accurate?
The number I've heard on the annual basis was about 8,000 a year.
Wow.
In growth. That's countywide.
Yeah. It's growing. The growth here is exponential. The election is tomorrow. It is in Senate District 6, and that includes my stomping grounds and Taylor's.
And Taylor's toward Traveler's Rest, portions of Traveler's Rest, down to portions of Greenville, and also in the Berea area. And on both sides, actually, of Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Gotcha. Dwight Loftus, he is the GOP candidate to replace William Timmons in the Senate seat in Columbia. Dwight, thanks so much for your time today. Best of luck to you tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And
the voters just need to get out and vote.
Absolutely. Yeah, we consistently stress, especially in a situation where we have a special election, that the turnout is usually relatively low. If you live in District 6 tomorrow, before you go to work or after you finish or at lunchtime, go to your polling place and cast your vote. There are people who made the ultimate sacrifice for you to be able to do that. 18 minutes after 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with more as we cruise on this rainy Monday. Nielsen. Jump into the fire. 523, bumper to bumper, the most heavily commuted, not to mention most heavily congested hour, the Bobby Mac Show. When Dwight came in, I jokingly said to him, you know, welcome to Woodruff Road at 5 o'clock on a weekday afternoon. He said, holy cow, it took us 45 minutes from TR down here. Yeah. Unsurprising. In on the text line, Bob Rhino Lindsay has ADD, attention deficit disorder. He has ADD legislation tactics. He goes from right to left quite a bit. The pattern over the years, follow the money. Well, as far as the proposed hearings in Lindsay's Judiciary Committee in D.C. into these red flag gun laws, as we pointed out in our interview with Jonathan Hill and Dudley Brown from National Gun Owners, Lindsay did accept a $250,000 campaign contribution from Mr. Bloomberg, who, of course, has on the top of his agenda gun grabbing. Bob, we need discipline in schools. That would be a start. I'm not even going to get started on that. Bobby cannot wait for the corrupt Hildebeest to be swinging behind bars. Bill and that ugly daughter should be right there with her. Flappy ears Obama, too, from Ann. Flappy ears Obama. Bobby, not testing illegal children who can't speak English might improve our test scores. Yeah. Bobby, who decided on these new voting machines, and what if I want a paper ballot? Also, what's the code on the ballot we'll be using in Taylor's? How do I know what that means? I don't know because I haven't seen them in action yet. I will tomorrow. I think one of these tests is in my polling place. I think they have it down to like four different competitors who manufacture various kinds of voting machines, and they are testing all of them in various usages leading up to primary season and then the elections in 2020. And then we'll make a decision as to which lobbyist did the best job in Colombia as to which one they buy. Bobby, this may be off topic, but I think the American citizens who pay taxes should begin a class action lawsuit against the DNC and all the big mouth Democrats. We want our money back, $25 million, but we had to pay for that nothing burger. I think we should sue. And this one, no valid driver's license, drunk, Ramirez. Wonder if he is here legally. To the phones we go. Michael is next up here on the Monday edition of the Bobby Mack Show. Hi, Michael, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. How are you today?
So far, so good.
Okay. Bobby, I'm a retired sheriff's deputy. I had over 30 years of law enforcement.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, sir. South Carolina already has what they call a detention order, where you can take and, primarily if you feel someone's endangering themselves or others, you go to a probate judge, warrants issued, given the law enforcement agency, you go in, pick them up. We never even ask them about their guns.
Right.
We took them to a mental health facility. They're examined. If they felt they needed more treatment, we took them to Pat B. If not, we took them back home. 95% of the time, I took more people back home than I did to Pat B. And then when I looked into it, it was an ex-wife in the middle of a custody battle,
right,
or it was a neighbor that was disgruntled, however.
Mm-hmm.
These red flag laws are dangerous. I'm talking about, and I can tell you from experience, if they pass these, especially on the federal level,
right,
it's going to be a bloodbath between law enforcement and good, honest, law-abiding citizens.
And sadly, you know, Michael, we already have seen one example of that when I was talking with Dudley Brown earlier. This poor fella in Maryland.
That's right.
And he had, it was exactly the kind of situation that you're describing, where someone has a personal axe to grind against an individual, and so he reported them. They have a red flag law in Maryland. So 5:15 in the morning, LEOs show up and they knock on this guy's door. Well, at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's dark, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. He answered the door with a firearm in his hand and was shot and killed for his trouble.
What situation there was, he had had a voracious argument at Thanksgiving with his aunt over politics.
Okay.
And she later on filed this red flag law that he knew, or she knew that he had the firearms, and
right,
she filed the red flag law. They went to his house at exactly 5:17 in the morning.
Wow.
They didn't kick in the door, but they knocked on the door. He answered
right,
the door with a handgun. They told him to put it down. He did. At that point, they told him what they were there for, and he became enraged, and he grabbed a gun.
Uh-oh.
Well, they jumped on him, and the gun went off, but no one was injured. And during the struggle, one of the deputies there opened fire and killed the guy, who was 76 years old.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. A later interview with the family said that it was they won't even speak to the aunt, and they said that this guy was as harmless as a flea.
That's pathetic. That's pathetic.
That's just a small sample. And 9 out of 10, Bobby, what they'll do federally is probably nitpick through some of these different provisions.
Right.
Right now you're looking at New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, Florida, Washington State. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's 13 states that have passed these red flag laws.
I think that's right.
And Florida keeps on bragging on it's a Broward OSHA. You know, Broward County alone confiscated 400 and some firearms. I'm just wondering there hadn't been more people shot. However, think about the violations of the Constitution.
Yes.
Think about if you make some offhanded remark, those Democrats or conservatives, whatever the case might be, they ought to be lined up and shot. Well,
yes.
You don't mean it. And
of course not.
If they handed you the gun they were lined up, you would never pull the trigger. However, that's all it takes. And in some of these states, you have no right to know who your accuser is. So you don't have to be – no right to be faced by your accuser, number
right,
one.
Right.
Number two, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Yep.
Number three, it's not a criminal offense. You're not arrested criminally. It's a civil offense. Therefore, if you're an individual of limited means, you have no right to have a lawyer provided to you if you can't afford one.
See, this is unconstitutional on its face on so many levels, Michael, as you point out.
Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, due process, search and seizure.
Yep.
First Amendment, freedom of speech. I mean, on and on and on. And I can't understand for the life of me, of all people, in a state that is, I love South Carolina. I because we are constitutionalist and we're a God-fearing, God-loving state, and I cannot believe that Senator Graham would even entertain this type of draconian legislation.
Well, as I mentioned, Michael, he has 250,000 reasons that serve as incentive for him to do this.
Yeah, I understand that, too. Yeah. And I just quickly, Bobby, I know you're busy. They have a thing on YouTube called Innocence Betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to any website. Just put in a search engine, Innocence Betrayed.
Right.
And it's about what happened to all these countries worldwide when the citizens were disarmed.
Right. And the list goes on and on. Russia, Germany, China, and some you probably haven't heard of. Michael, thank you for a great explanation of the dangers that we face with these red flag laws. I appreciate the call today. Thank you very much, sir. 5:31 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on Monday. Correctamundo. Guitar George, he knows all the chords in the background. I think Congressman Timmons is going to be along with me in the next few minutes. I know he had a busy schedule this afternoon. We're kind of working to squeeze him in between different things, different committee meetings and what have you that he's up to. So we'll anticipate his joining us here sometime in the next few minutes. In the meantime, here we are, of course. 675 days later, $25 million, and you know what happened to that money, right? Yeah, it just disappeared down the tubes. 19 attorneys who called over 500 witnesses. The Mueller investigation issued over 500 search warrants. More than 2,800 subpoenas. And what's the end game here? What's the end result? Right. Nada. Zip. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. Making liberals' heads explode like Chuck U. Schumer. Not to mention Crazy Maxine and the rest of them. Here's Schumer.
The American people simply want the truth. Each American, if he chooses or she chooses, can read the report for themselves and draw their own conclusion.
Well, that's not the way it works, Chuck. You see, there's a little legality in here where the results of the investigation go to the attorney general, and then he releases what he feels doesn't violate any security protocols or what have you. But look, you know as well as I do, none of this stuff matters to the Democrats. CNN, BSLSD, and the other cable networks would have been happy with nothing less than every member of the Trump family being perp-walked out of the White House in handcuffs. It's crazy. So in the wake of the president's, and you know, every one of these talking head morons, Chris Matthews and all the rest, you know, what's their immediate reaction? Mueller, he colluded with the Russians on this investigation. Right. You know, and every other nonsensical explanation for why they found nothing other than the obvious explanation, there was nothing there to find. So the folks at, where was this, Washington Examiner? Or was this Daily Caller? I think this was a Daily Caller. In any event, they compiled a little hit list. Okay, of the media's journalistic bombshells, the seemingly endless list of corrections, retractions, and apologies that resulted from the media screw-ups, but they weren't really screw-ups because they would take any kind of rumor that came down the pike and print it or broadcast it as fact. Number one, CNN accuses Donald Trump Jr. of WikiLeaks collusion. Unfortunately for CNN, turned out their sources gave him the wrong date. Don Jr. actually got an email with access to the stolen documents September 14th after they'd already been released publicly. ABC tanks the stock market with fake news about General Flynn. ABC suspended and then fired Brian Ross after he falsely reported former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn was prepared to testify that then-candidate Donald Trump ordered him to make contact with the Russians. Not true. CNN earns another spot on the list by their shoddy reporting about former Trump advisor Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch. In June, CNN relied on a single unnamed source to claim that the Mooch was under investigation for a meeting he had with a Russian banker prior to Trump's inauguration. They had to apologize for that one. Bloomberg, dirty Deutsche Bank scoop. They initially reported that special counsel Robert Mueller had zeroed in on Trump by subpoenaing records from Deutsche Bank for the incoming president and his family. Not true. Russians aren't just hacking the election, they're hacking our power grid. Washington Post claimed in January 2017, Russians were hacking the U.S. power grid through a company in Vermont, only to have to retract the story and change it to say that one laptop had been infiltrated, and it turns out that one laptop was never even connected to the power grid. Number of news outlets consistently claim that Republicans initially paid for the anti-Trump Steele dossier, failing to note that Steele wasn't even contracted by Fusion GPS. And the list goes on and on. CNN gets Comey prediction wildly wrong. Media perpetuated a false claim that Hillary, insisting that all 17 intelligence agencies agreed that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. They did not. Manafort's notes, NBC with a big scoop, claiming Paul Manafort's notes from a meeting with a Russian lawyer included the word donations near a reference to the RNC. That turned out to be a nothing burger. NBC issues a correction on Cohen about wiretaps. The BuzzFeed story, special counsel office disputing the 2019 report by BuzzFeed, claiming that Trump directed his lawyer to lie about a potential business deal in Moscow. NPR. Yeah, the neutral NPR accusing Donald Trump Jr. of perjury. And the list goes on and on. Anybody stepping up to apologize for any of those? How many were there? 13? And that's just the tip of the iceberg on all the phony reporting that they displayed as bombshells. 5:46, 14 before 6, Bobby Mack Show here on a wet and rainy Monday. Be right back.
All right, Dan.
Jimmy. Little 101st Airborne Division, Screaming Eagle, rock and roll. Yeah. Jimi Hendrix was in the Army? Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't a straight leg either. He was jumping out of perfectly good aircraft. 5:52, it's 8 before 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Let me see if I can make a valiant effort to catch up with the text line here this afternoon. Bobby, the Democrats keep throwing rocks at a hornet's nest. Bob, flip side, if there were no Mueller investigation, or if there was no Mueller investigation, for 4 years, Democrats claim Trump colluded and is an agent and Russian agent with Mueller. Trump is cleared and the public knows the truth. $25 million is an unintended Trump 2020 campaign contribution. Yeah, but look at the reaction from the crazy lefties. Maxine Waters is losing her mind. This isn't over. He must be impeached, blah, blah, blah. And all the boneheads in Hollywood, you know, with the same stuff. Bob, Officer Michael, who called earlier, was that Innocent Project that he was talking about on YouTube? I think he said Innocence Project. But Google it and you'll probably be able to find it. Bobby Mack, I was telling some friends of mine who are Democrats that this is either going to be the cleanest presidency that we've ever seen in our lifetime, or it's going to be the worst. And I knew that it would be the cleanest because Trump cannot get away with anything, not even a fourth of what the Democrats have done. And for Democrats, even clear innocence is still not enough. No, and it never will be. As I said, they wouldn't be happy unless Trump and his entire family were hauled out of the White House and perp walked in handcuffs. Bobby, if only the Democrats had spent another $25 million taxpayer dollars, then they may have come up with some sort of collusion or obstruction. Bobby, Chucky, referring to Schumer, knows that parts will be centered. Is that supposed to be censored? He's prepping the Democrat base for further stirring. Sure, that's what they're all doing. You know, well, this was rigged. Mueller's investigation was rigged. I knew it from the beginning. I knew they'd never find anything because they covered it up because Mueller was colluding with the Russians. Right. Bobby, what was that website again about countries that have taken guns and the results of that for their citizens? Thanks from Cindy. I believe that is Innocence Project. Bobby, I saw this morning on Fox that Russian troops, like 100 of them, had landed in Venezuela. You know anything about this? I do. I know a lot about it, and I'll share it with you in the next hour. Bobby, I'm glad we have people that want to be law enforcement, but I've never wholeheartedly supported. Sorry, we lost the rest of it. Didn't make it. Bobby, Lindsey and Mike Pence in Greenville at the Marriott, March the 30th. Be a good time to let him know what you think about red flag gun laws. Gotcha. Bobby, when I was voting in the 2018 midterms at the Isle of Palms, I tried to vote the straight Republican ticket. I pressed it and pressed it and pressed it again. Finally, I had to get assistance from the monitor. She was not allowed to press the button. No, you can only do that if you're a voting Democrat. I added that part myself. But I was then able to vote straight Republican. Makes me wonder how many of our Republican votes have just disappeared. Election fraud will make or break 2020. Yeah, the Democrats would like to expand a bunch of the stuff that they've done in California. You know, on election night in Orange County, I think there are two Republican congressmen there. Both of them were in the lead at like midnight on election night. And they kept bringing votes in for like 2 weeks until, guess what? They both lost. Bobby, Hillary was trying to break the glass ceiling, and we heard that all over the left news outlets, they must have a fixation on breaking glass because after today's announcement coverage, I heard a lot of them saying something to the effect of the glass is broken or breaking the glass. Did you hear their new catchphrase? No, but they've always got, you know, some sort of buzzword. Remember gravitas? That was one of their, that was their famous buzzword for a while. Bobby, have you noticed people going crazy on the roads when it rains? You notice that, Moneypenny? People go crazy on the roads when it rains? Really?
That would never happen.
No, of course not. That's urban legend. That's what that is, urban legend. Not to worry about it. Right. Bonus hour is on the way next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.